to whoever is sitting around. Welcome to Hiroha Live episode from IndiePopCon. We are joined today by some special guests. So we have got Karen, who's been on an episode with us before. We have Danielle. And we have the wonderful Brooke Allen from Lumberjanes.
Wonderful.
Yeah. this is episode 18, so we are getting ever closer to our 20th episode. So, as always, you'll be able to get hold of us at Hero Hype Podcast. So hit us up on Twitter with any questions, as usual, and someone's always there. You'll get lots and lots of really awesome pictures from our experience at the con, so that's going to be really, really good. Just going to run over a couple of the big news headlines in comics from, like, the last, I guess, week or so, because we recorded an episode about a week ago. Yeah, so obviously the big, big piece of news is we finally got our Spider-Man.
Yay.
After months of rumors and running us around and will they, won't they, Tom Holland has been cast as Peter Parker. How are you guys feeling about that news?
Bring back Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield is my Spider-Man.
Karen, what about you?
Pretty much the same. I'm just in, like, Spider-Man fatigue at this point. I don't feel like we need more Spider-Man, and I realize that's sort of terrible to say because he's so popular, but I don't see the point.
I piggybacking on that. I agree. I would have to say I'm in the same camp with the Andrew Garfield. I thought he was amazing. I love that dude. Like, what did he do wrong? Bring him back. But and if not have him, why not Miles? My question.
Miles for Spider-Man is my big thing. It's I just want him always in everything.
Will we ever get it? I don't know.
I will continue to hope.
Black Widow movie.
Yeah, we want Widow. Hashtag.
Yeah. Hashtag not my Spider-Man.
Yeah, I mean, Tom Holland in fairness is like, it's not his fault. He's gone up for a casting call for a role.
No, and you know what? And kudos to him. He's Spider-Man. Like, yeah. So
his dream
exciting.
Is probably true.
Yeah.
Come true. It's great. But, I mean, he's done some pretty awesome projects. Like, some of the stuff he's worked on is, like, The Impossible, Locke, and How I Live Now. And later this year, he's going to be in The Heart of the Sea, which is, they're all, like, really kind of, like, smaller kind of almost indie projects. I think a couple of those were bigger in the UK.
Possibly, because I've never heard of any of them.
Okay. How I Live Now was, like, huge in the UK. Like,
possibly.
That was a really, really big film over with us. So, you know, he is a British actor, again. I don't know what it is about them casting British actors for someone from New York. So,
what is The Heart of the Sea? Is that the, like, diamond in Titanic?
It is. No, that what
is that the Chris Evans movie that's like Moby Dick, or am I completely wrong?
I think it's that kind of.
Or Chris Hemsworth? Did I say Chris Evans? I meant
Chris
Hemsworth.
I think it's that one. Yeah.
I'm always thinking about Chris Evans. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is that one.
You know, and that's not to say I'm not excited for Spider-Man to be in with the Avengers. I think that's really amazing. I think it's high time that that's happened, but. I mean, they could have kept Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Or they could have gone a different route with it altogether.
Yeah. I figure if they were going to go young, then Miles would have. Miles was the more obvious choice for staying young.
Right.
But Peter in Civil War was a lot older.
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made more sense to have kept Andrew Garfield because he was already established and at, like, at least a decent age to deal with, like, the Civil War storyline. But if they were going to drag in a younger character, Miles probably would have been the better choice. Because, I mean, a lot of people, even general moviegoers, are going to know the Peter Parker story at this point. So it's not like they're not going to know what's going on with Peter, his deal, his backstory, that kind of thing. Even though it's going to be moving across studios, it's not like a big, big deal. But, as the other big thing we've got is Secret Warriors are coming to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3. So we got a little bit of a teaser of that with Skye in the last season, kind of coming up and being told she's going off and having her own super, super awesome superhero team. But
yeah, when this news hit, my first instinct was, no duh, I guess. I mean, I didn't know the name of the team. Like, I haven't entrenched myself that much in the comics, but I felt like it was just another part of this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where it was like, yes, you're stating the obvious, or like you're getting to the obvious of what's happening. Like, of course she's going to have a superhero team.
Wasn't the thing that they called it, wasn't it the caterpillars or something that they called it at the end of the last season?
I don't know.
Something like that. But it's kind of, again, very, very obvious it was going to happen anyway. But hey, they're treating it as big news.
However,
the one really, really interesting thing is the lineup of the actual Secret Avengers. So in the comics, it's Nick Fury is leading it, then Daisy, who's Skye. Then you had, like, a couple of other people. So character called Alexander Aaron, Sebastian Druid, Yo-Yo Rodriguez, JT James, Eden Fessy. But the interesting one is Jerry Sledge, who is the son of Carl Creel. So we could be seeing more of Carl Creel, or at least his family, potentially, in season 3 if they do bring more stuff from the comics. Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? It's okay if you don't.
It's all right.
I've seen it. I'm super behind. I saw like the first couple episodes, and then I got really busy, so I'm waiting, you know, get on Hulu.
Yeah, it's
catch
there.
Up with the rest of the world.
It's that thing. It's like there's so many shows out right now, and so many of them are really, really, really good.
Yeah.
It's hard to keep up with all of them unless you have no life at all, like me, and you just watch everything.
I think you have the best life.
Yeah, going really, really quickly through the rest, Arrow has done more casting calls. Looks like we're getting a Felicity rival, who is a, like, 20-something African-American male who's described as a technological savant. Which makes me think he's probably from Hive, because we're getting Damian Dark coming in. So that would be really, really interesting, because it's like the anti-Arrow team.
That's how I feel about that.
Oh, dear. And we're also getting another lady.
Yay.
Ladies. Patty is going to be a candidate for mayor, who's going to have ties to the Queen family and Moira especially. So digging up the dirt and the secrets and the skeletons coming out of the closet probably again.
I was going to say, it's been kind of endless at this point, hasn't it?
Well, yeah.
And maybe they'll, like, keep this one around because they dropped sort of the plot line with Oliver has a kid.
Yeah.
So, surprise, spoiler alert, I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't know.
It really, in the show, it doesn't matter. It's like, oh, here's one episode on how Oliver has a kid, and then we just never touch it again.
It's like a Father's Day special.
Probably, yeah.
Oh, dear, that would be... Oliver would be, like, such a bad dad.
Probably.
Oh, my God. The other really cool thing that came out of this, I mean, John Barrowman is a season regular. Not that shocking. But Lexi Alexander is going to be directing an episode. So if you don't know who she is, she did Punisher, the Punisher stuff. So she directed all of that. So she is making the move over into TV, which is really exciting. But again, more lady directors on the show is only going to be good for the show. So I'm really excited about that.
Now, did John Barrowman's contract change at all, or is it still...
So John Barrowman was with Malcolm Merlyn, was more of a recurring role, recurring or guest role, and now he's regular.
Oh, okay.
So
I don't know how I feel about that. I really like John Barrowman. I really hate
Malcolm Merlyn,
the character he plays.
Well, I mean, he basically became the big bad at the end of the last season.
Yeah.
So you can't really get away with doing that and then not upping his contract to a regular.
True.
Love or hate him. It's it was kind of a no-brainer that was going to happen.
Yeah.
touching really quickly, Batfleck is going to be directing Batman potentially in 2018, which don't do.
No, I am so on board with this.
I'm
actually
okay with that.
I am not, I'm whatever about him playing Batman, but I really liked his movie, of which I cannot recall the title right now, the one he got snubbed for an Oscar for Best Direction for. I really liked that movie, and I feel like if he can bring that sort of the pacing and like just the vision to Batman, I think it could be really neat.
Yeah, I think he's a great director. So him doing more directing, I'm okay with that, even if it's Batman.
That's what I was going to say. Nothing against him, because I think he's a great actor, and I haven't seen his movie, but I mean, I trust your opinion. So
I know, and I feel so
good.
Bad I can't remember the name right
Fargo.
Now.
It's Argo.
Yes, it is. Thank you so much. Oh, I should have remembered it because of the slur that comes out of it. It's like my favorite thing to say, which I will not say right now.
It's fine.
But I'm in Batman fatigue, and I just feel like the Nolan trilogy was enough for me, and I hated Man of Steel, so I'm just not really looking forward to more of that.
I'm going to remain optimistic until we see Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
Because I can't really judge what his Batman is going to be like and how I'm going to feel about Batman after that comes out. So I may end up feeling differently. But
true. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I just want Wonder Woman. Like, I'll probably see that movie for that.
Yeah. More Wonder Woman. I'm super excited about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Like, beyond words, so yeah.
She kind of looks like Xena, to be honest.
Yeah.
Which is
I love Xena.
I love Xena. Yeah. Yes, same.
It's like, maybe you don't look like Wonder Woman I thought I wanted, but you look like Xena, so it's cool too.
Yeah, that's good enough. Yeah.
Yeah. And last little bit of news that's from the last week is surprising probably absolutely no one, Hugh Jackman is sort of confirmed for X-Men Apocalypse because they can't do an X-Men movie without Wolverine. It's not necessarily official yet. A company who creates custom bags was designing a bag for Wolverine for X-Men Apocalypse. It's a duffel bag, and they posted the sketches up on their Instagram account. And then and then it all got taken down, and it's now all been hushed up. But
too late. The Wolverine's out of the bag. Okay, I'm going to leave now.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I didn't even think of that pun, so thank you very much.
Yeah. I think with that, we're not going to get much more out of that bit of news. Because, again, it's not surprising. Wolverine in an X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Gasp.
So, obviously on this podcast, we do always do comic book recommendations, but this time around, we are going to do something a little bit different. So, usually when I recommend comic books, I will do something relevant to or based on something that's on TV that people might want to get into a little bit more. But we're going to do this the other way around this time, because Lumberjanes has just been optioned to potentially become a live-action movie.
Ooh, it's true.
Which is
super exciting news. So I know a lot of our listeners probably won't know a lot about Lumberjanes because we're going the opposite way around. So it's this amazing all-ages female-led and authored title. It is perfect for everyone who listens to this podcast who is always looking for their lady fix. And it's one of the few all-lady titles in a sea of male-centric comic books. Basic premise is it's a story about crazy, awesome, supernatural shenanigans with a group of girls at a summer camp.
Yeah, nailed it.
Pretty much. It was originally planned as an 8-issue mini-series kind of thing, but the awesome couldn't be contained, and now it's ongoing.
Ongoing, yeah.
Yeah, would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yes, way better than I could have ever
done. I was going to ask if you'd add anything else for the Lumberjane uninitiated.
Oh, no. No, you got it. My mind just went blank. I was like, what is Lumberjanes? Who am I? I don't know.
What am I doing here?
Yeah, what are comics?
Now, the cool thing about this was it was supposed to be an 8-issue format to begin with, and then obviously it got extended. What was the transition between that, and how do you guys kind of approach that as a team now that it's sort of gotten bigger?
Well, I think early on, after we saw, like, the pre-order sales, they were like, oh, yeah, you guys, we're going to make it bigger. So kind of early on, we knew we would get to, like, flesh out the story more, and we didn't have to worry too much about condensing everything into 8 issues that we ever wanted to show, which is awesome. But then, of course, that means the world has just, like, expanded exponentially, and which is exciting because now we can get all of these webcomic artists that we're all fans of to come and work on this property, and everyone gets a chance to sort of do their own thing. So it's exciting. We're going to have a lot more people working on it, and like the newer arcs, like everyone's going to get like a time to tell their stories.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. It's like a big collaborative project.
Yeah.
It's a lot of moving pieces, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Like everyone's a lumberjane, y'all.
So the fan response for Lumberjanes has been pretty phenomenal. Were you expecting that, or has it been like really overwhelming for you?
I wasn't expecting it, but pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised, I guess, in a way, though, because it's just like, oh, you know, wow, people want to read stories with girls in it. Like, whoa, this is insane.
Radical idea, man.
But, so yeah, that's not surprising to me at all. But yeah, like, how big our audience got and how fast was definitely surprising to me.
I mean, diversity in comics, especially, is like such a huge and important conversation that's going on now. I mean, it spans from comics across to like TV and film as well. Is everyone's finger is on the pulse of it at the moment. Like, how do you see Lumberjanes' role in that conversation?
I think it's a big voice in that conversation, especially. With regards to all ages, like queer representation in like younger kids, which is something that I don't think we've really gotten.
No, not at all.
Yeah,
we need it.
Yeah,
because usually, you know, I mean, up until recently, it's and there's plenty of people who still think this way, that, you know, gay means, or I mean, just gay or queer, that's like an adult conversation. Mm-hmm. And that's adult content. But I don't know, hopefully things are changing. Yesterday was a great day, right?
Yesterday was an amazing day. Obviously by the time this podcast comes out, the news will be probably a little bit older, but obviously for those listening, if you did miss the news,
somehow,
I don't know how you could have missed it. Gay marriage is now completely legal. Well done, USA.
Woo-hoo!
You have now joined the UK. So we welcome you.
Yay.
Yeah.
Get married.
Yeah. Everyone go and get married. It's great. I mean, the other thing that Lumberjanes is really, really great for is, like, positively portraying, like, female friendships. Because we don't always see those kinds of friendships in the media. Like, especially not, like, as close as they are and not as positively portrayed as it is. Like, you get the very kind of
mean girls, antagonistic.
Yeah, kind of thing. You know, how important is it for you guys as a team, like, to continue showing those depictions of really strong friendships?
Huge. Right from the beginning, that was something that we, as a team, wanted to portray. And it doesn't mean that sometimes the girls don't get along or you know, like they hit bumps along the way, but they love each other. So, you know, like, regardless, it's always going to be a story about friendship. It's very important to us.
I mean, would you have loved to have seen something like Lumberjanes when you were growing up?
Oh my gosh, yes. it's definitely a little bit of wish fulfillment, I think, on the creative team's part. No, I never even went to camp either, so that's another thing where I'm like, oh man, I wish.
It's for someone who doesn't, we don't get summer camps in the UK. It's just not a thing. So just seeing that on the page is like a really, really interesting look into what happens over here as well. I really enjoy it.
Yep, ship your kids off to the woods.
I would have been okay with that.
Yeah,
that sounds
absolutely.
Like a, that sounds like fun to me.
I know. I never got to do it either. So oh I gosh. Had to live vicariously through these things.
You guys, like, man. Let's go to camp.
Let's what go to camp.
What was bags, the other one? What
our
was
duffel bags?
Yeah. The other one that had, like, a summer camp that I used to, like, I watch. It's a movie. It has, is it? Lindsay Lohan's in
is
it.
The Parent Trap.
That's it. Yeah, that one. And they're
peanut
at camp.
Butter and
she's
Oreo.
My twice. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's my other experience with summer camp. So I'll just have to say, Lumberjanes is infinitely cool.
So. I feel like you're well rounded at this point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good movie.
So. In trying to hone in on your craft and your artistic ability, what has kind of influenced the way in which you draw the most?
I would say I draw a lot of inspiration from cartoons,
mm-hmm.
And just animated features. So I kind of approach it in the same way as I would like boarding for like an animated show or something like that. And I try to have like the backgrounds be a little bit more, what's the word? More rendered. I mean, at this point, that's more Marta's job. She's a colorist, and she does an amazing job because that's like a huge part of the book is the color. In my work, even outside of Lumberjanes, I'm very interested in approaching it like it would, like it's its own little like animated. You could easily like just make an animated feature out of it or something.
Pick it up and throw it on the TV.
Right, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character to bring to life?
Oh my gosh.
If you can pick a favorite.
I know, at the risk of. I love Jen. She's like one of my favorite characters. Bless her heart. She's got to watch all these girls that are, you know, like they're trouble just because they get into everything. But and then Ripley is just, she's so wild. She's like a feral little baby running around. And her hair is just like, you know, it can get pretty anime, which is exciting for me. I'd say those two are my favorite to draw. Ripley and Jen, officially. My favorites right now. But it changes.
Yeah. Which character, then, would you say is that you would identify with the most?
I think I identify with Molly the most, because she's a little more insecure than everybody else, and she's a little more, not necessarily introverted, but she definitely isn't as vocal as everybody else, and she has a little raccoon companion. I think I've always had a little pet, a little animal friend. So
I would totally want a raccoon companion.
If it works,
like sit right here.
If it works for Pocahontas,
yes, exactly. If it was Miko,
Miko. Yeah, Bubbles is heavily influenced by
Miko.
Probably. Whenever I go to draw Bubbles, I'm like, don't draw Miko. Don't draw Miko.
I mean,
probably better that than like Rocket. That could get
interesting. Crossover with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Don't give Bubbles a giant gun. Don't do it. Yeah, it's hard drawing Bubbles. Not like all the other raccoons out there. There's a lot of raccoons out there, huh?
Yeah.
Didn't think about it.
Yeah, there are actually.
Just everyone ponder that for a while.
I know.
Now I'm just thinking of Miko and like Rocket meeting and just having fun, which I don't know if that would go over very well.
I don't think it would.
Yeah,
no.
You know, no. It's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you kind of approach this project differently from the way that you've approached past projects?
Well, with this one, it's a big team, so it's a big collaborative effort. Which is different from anything else I've done. The most I've ever worked with number of people-wise would be, like, one other person.
Okay.
But now it's, like, a whole team. And, again, it's very reminiscent, at least what I think, of when, like, putting together a cartoon or something. Like, you have a team. And so it's a lot of teamwork. Kind of mirrors, you know, the actual comics, so that's pretty cool.
It mirrors the art.
Yeah.
So, I guess, looking into the future, would you ever consider, or do you prefer, I guess, drawing for existing characters, or would you like to stick with original work?
I would love to do both, because there's definitely a lot of characters out there that I'm fans of.
Yeah.
That you just can't help yourself. You're like, oh, I want to... I don't want to try.
Which ones?
Oh, gosh. Oh, like superhero-wise, I mean, She-Hulk is probably one of my favorites.
I love She-Hulk. Yes. Yeah. That
She's
would be
awesome.
Great.
Yeah.
Talking about someone who needs a movie.
Right? Oh, yeah. God, where's her movie?
Or a TV show.
Give her anything. Could you imagine like a Suits-esque kind of show with Jennifer Walters? Just with She-Hulk? How awesome would that be?
I would be so on board with that.
Yeah.
If it's not in the works, get on it, you guys.
It's Netflix. Are you listening?
God, it'd be so good. But yeah, I would say She-Hulk. And then, of course, I just like really terrible properties from like the early 90s and late 80s, like Street Sharks and
Street Sharks. I love Street Sharks.
I love Street Sharks.
The
but
worst.
It's so good.
So good.
But that's why it's so good. It's because it's so terrible.
It's like four brothers and they all turn into sharks. Like that's all you need to know. So stupid. But yeah, so like just really terrible stuff like that. I would love to try and, I don't know, relive the terrible. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bring it back.
Bring back the awful.
I could get on board with that. We were actually talking, was it this morning or last night, maybe, about, like, all the cartoons we used to watch as a kid and, like...
Oh, it was last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the sort of terrible things that we just loved and didn't care that we loved.
Fox Family. Yeah. Fox was
Family.
What we were talking about. It was everything that was on Fox Family. So.
Fox Family is everything to me.
Do you guys remember... what is it called? It's like Geeker or Project Geeker?
Project Geeker. Like, I don't think so.
It was like a T-Rex, and I want to say Doug Tenable maybe worked on it or something. It was very like Earthworm Jim. It had like a similar style. Yeah. But there was this one character named Becky, and she's like totally bald, but then she has like a huge ponytail. And, like, she's, like, mostly made out of, like, metal pieces. And she's, like, the weirdest character ever that I think I had a crush on. I don't know how to feel at this point. Still figuring it out.
I need to look this up because this sounds awesome.
That does
sound
really
awesome.
Yeah, I just
remember, like, the dinosaur had a little red hat. And I was like, oh, well, that's me. And then my best friend that, like, I probably maybe have a crush on, I don't know, is this, like, mostly metal chick named Becky. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
What a weird cartoon.
The weird cartoons are always the best, though.
Yeah.
Like, if you've got a little bit of weird in what you're doing, it's always a massive hit with me.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
If you got a little weird.
definitely. I mean, is there anyone in comics right now that you would love to collaborate with?
Oh yeah, lots of people. I'm reaching out to a lot of the people that I'm big fans of their work, but I would love to do more work with Noelle and Caitlin mm-hmm. and those guys. But yeah, we'll see.
far out there. Like, is that like oh, no holds like, barred? Like, if there was absolutely anyone, like nothing in the background would come in your way. Like, there'd be no like background politics or hoops to jump through. Nothing. Anyone that you could work with.
Oh my god. It's so scary because I feel like, what if they hear this?
Maybe that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Becky Cloonan, if you're listening.
Oh.
Gotham Academy School. Oh. I don't know. I'm honestly like, I'm like, what are comics right now? I'm just blanking. I'm too scared to answer.
Oh, it's all good. I mean, but for anyone else who'd be looking to get into the industry, I mean, obviously, you're kind of already fairly well established at this point. You've got some really great projects that you're working on. Like, is there any advice that you would give to someone else who's trying to get into the industry or just needs that little extra push?
Yeah, I would say, honestly, like, put your stuff up online. Like, you don't even need the publishers. I would heavily encourage webcomics and just going ahead and like reaching out to everybody on the internet, and that's how you meet friends. That's how I meet all my friends.
Yeah. That's how we all met.
That's how we all met. Internet. So,
yeah, we got the internet. It's so magical.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you to do that, and don't be afraid to, you know, reach out to people that you're fans of their work, and chances are they're very nice and they can tell you about the business side of things.
Not to like step in on your answering here, but also going to conventions is an incredible way to meet people, and like, don't be rude about being like, here's my stuff, you should like tweet it out or whatever, but networking here is so easy, everyone's so friendly, we're all here for the same reason. And I feel like it's just a great way, you know, maybe not to find somebody to work with exactly, but just, you know people, and it's a great way to expand your circle.
Yeah, it's the comics world is very small. So.
Yeah. I mean, myself and Danielle were walking like the show floor yesterday, and we weren't looking for anything in particular, and we came across a stand for a comic called Nutmeg, which I'd never heard of before. And we ended up chatting to the guys at the table, the writer and the artist, mm-hmm. and they had, what did they have on the table? What was in the little pots?
They had bowls of nutmeg on their table, so their table smelled so good, yeah. I didn't want to walk away.
Yeah, it was amazing, and was just sitting there and just chatting to them for ages, and ended up walking away with their first trade.
Mm-hmm. Both of us.
Yeah. Because the art was so good, and the idea of the story was really, really good. Again, another female-led kind of title, which a lot of these ones where you're kind of finding those really interesting stories for people who are like you, or for narratives that you really, really want to see are not coming out of a lot of the big publishers. They're coming out of these really, really small projects that are close to people's hearts who really, really want to put on the page what they want to see, which is so amazing for me, and walked away with that comic book, and you just find new stuff in like I guess this isn't an unlikely place, but I just wasn't expecting to be walking away with a whole new comic series to read, and that's exactly what I'm doing. But they're also working the writer's also working on another project, and he had a couple of cards for it, and the artist that he's working on with that is at the convention as well. So I ended up taking all the information for that because it's like a werewolf...
Lupina, I think, is what
Lupina
it was called.
Lupina is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's a werewolf supernaturally kind of thing.
That sounds cool.
Again, a lot of female-led stuff in that as well. And it's like, oh, there's all of these amazing things coming out over and over and over. And you just find them all the time.
Yeah. If you know where to look. Yeah. They're there.
I mean, if you could start up a project, if you could work with someone on something, like what would be your dream? What would you love to put on page with someone?
Oh my gosh.
A bald metal lady?
Yeah. A bald metal lady. That's like kind of close to Furiosa.
Yeah.
You know? Similar cool. aesthetic. So.
Yeah. Actually, yeah, that's very close. Yeah.
More Furiosa.
Throwing some like sharks with legs, you know,
yeah.
then.
Yeah. That sharks with legs. Bald metal ladies. Anybody?
I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm there for that.
And then maybe like some magic, of course. Got to put magic in there.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. I imagine that would be great to just illustrate and just kind of figure out how you want it to look and mm-hmm. how the magic would look.
Yes, would how be, the magic would look.
How the magic would look. Because it has specific looks and specific things, so I think that would be really
it's
cool.
It's true. Shark magic would look very different from bald metal lady magic. So, you know, I mean, I'm ready to develop this. Just someone write it. Ready. That's my dream. Thank you for helping me figure out my dream.
You heard it here first on Hero Hype.
Exclusive. Do you have any other projects in the works that you can talk about, or are they
anything secret?
Secret hush hush projects.
Yeah, it's like a really boring answer. It's like, I'm working on stuff. Wink, wink. Maybe you'll see it. Maybe I'll talk about it. I don't know.
But it's so cool because you have a secret.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have secrets like that.
I'm just full of secrets.
How do you know?
It's true. I don't know.
My hat is just like all the
just
secrets.
Just full of secrets.
Yeah. That's why I'm always wearing a hat. It's just secrets. That's where I hide my secrets.
Got it.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
No,
secrets.
No, that's always good. It's fine.
Secrets are intriguing.
Yeah. Do you know, like, a rough idea of when some of these might come to
when
to
I'll
light?
Tell you my secrets?
Yeah. When are you going to tell us your secrets? When
that, too, is a secret.
Oh.
I'm the worst.
We'll need to get Hydra to infiltrate. And then, oh. Like,
I know who that is. Even though, yeah.
Yeah. Put all the secrets online.
Soldier.
What can you tell us, is it all with Boom or is it with different
other people as well? Yeah.
Oh, good.
That's fantastic.
Yes. Yeah. Is there anything else in Boom that you want to work on?
Like properties that they have that I would like to work on? Oh gosh. I mean, Steven Universe is awesome, but but Coleman and Jeremy have that on lock, so I would never step on their toes. But yeah, Steven Universe is probably my other favorite thing. I just saw Big Trouble in Little China. That's a fun movie.
Ooh.
But everybody's got their stuff on lock, so.
Oh.
I'll just read it.
Yeah.
awesome.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I think we got through most of the questions that we had for you as well.
It's because my answers were like, yeah, no, secrets, secrets.
So many secrets, so many.
Moving on.
So, quick interjection here. Where can people find you online so that when you can reveal your secrets?
Oh, I'm on Twitter. Sometimes. just Brooke A. Allen at Twitter. And then on Tumblr, same thing, Brooke A. Allen, Tumblr. So Tumblr and Twitter is probably where I may reveal my secrets. Perhaps Instagram, perhaps the LinkedIn profile. Just kidding about the last one.
Do you put up like a lot of your sketches and stuff on your Tumblr? Will people be able to see like any works in progress? Or is it mostly finished work that you tend to put up on there?
I put up a bit of both. The problem is that, like, I haven't updated in a while, you guys. Yeah. So I'm the worst, basically, at social networking stuff. But I'm going to get better, you guys.
Yeah, check it out. I promise I'll post stuff.
We'll be watching.
now, I promise.
Oh, here's a question. Out of any movie or TV show or anything that is on, like, whatever it is, superhero-related or not, is there any one that you would love to do a tie-in comic for?
Ooh. I'm just, like, thinking about
this. What are things bad. We keep asking all
what
these,
are things
like,
I watch?
Huge questions.
I'm just, like, thinking about, like, because normally when I'm answering these questions, like, I'm in my room or something, and I have a bunch of stuff to just, like, look at. I'm like, I like that thing on my shelf, yeah. But now I'm just like, what do I even watch? What is the last thing I saw? Like, I saw part of Orange is the New Black, and I don't know how I feel about it.
Yeah, I got
the
you
new
on that
season.
One.
Yeah, that's too bad. I love Star Trek.
Yes.
Danya
awesome.
Loves Star Trek.
I love Star Trek. On the last episode that we did, I was talking about how I'm, like, complete trash for Star Trek. Just everything from... Because Chris Pine was cast in... I can't remember what he was cast in now.
It's hard to remember things.
Oh, yeah, it was Wonder Woman. He was cast in Wonder Woman. And I was just, like, there going, oh, my God, that is the greatest thing ever. Because Chris Pine in anything, I'm super into. And I love him as Kirk.
I think he's a great Kirk.
He's a great Kirk. So
I think they did a good job with the reboot. But what's the deal with Doctor Strange? Maybe y'all can tell me.
Ask her. She knows.
What do you want to know?
Wow.
It's Tilda Swinton?
Hmm?
Doctor Strange?
What about, like,
the movie.
Oh, the movie?
Tell me everything. I haven't... I obviously don't go online.
It's coming.
I live in a cave.
Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange, so that's...
Oh, okay. Wait, really?
Yeah. Yeah, really. We don't really know much else.
What's
right
Tilda
now.
What's Tilda Swinton doing?
Right? That would... Tilda Swinton is...
I thought she was attached to it in some way.
She is? Well, we don't know. It was kind of rumory.
She
sort
a magic.
Of
she's supposed to be, yeah, like the.
She's like gonna reprise her role from Constantine. I don't know. They're going.
I'm hand gesturing here. It makes for great like podcasting.
Yeah. So Tilda Swinton is tipped to be the ancient one, which is, you know,
okay.
Yay for gender bending, not so yay for whitewashing. It's so it's kind of on the fence with that one. I want to see Tilda Swinton as Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Oh,
I wanted to see Tilda Swinton as Doctor Strange.
Yeah, Tilda Swinton as Doctor Strange would have been awesome.
Because, yeah, she would have been great.
Yeah, she would fit that really well.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's definitely a witch. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Probably.
Probably. She's probably everything.
She's full of magic, at least.
Yeah.
I know that.
No, she's amazing. Like, I'm excited to see her attached to, like, one of the movies. But, again, it's kind of that I'm on the fence with Doctor Strange because, yeah, again, they're making some very interesting choices about the casting.
Yeah, it wasn't what I would have done.
No, it's definitely not what I would have done either, but... Hey, what are you gonna do? I'm not working for Marvel. I have no say in this. I wish I was, and I wish I did, but
no Black Widow movie, no Miles.
I know.
But let's not dwell on negative things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got Captain Marvel coming up, and we've got Black Panther. So
that's cool.
That's gonna be cool. So they're still a little bit far away, but
Idris Elba
got them.
But they're coming.
Yeah.
Slowly and surely, they're coming.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Star Trek tie-in, though. That would be...
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, the autobiography of James T. Kirk is coming out in September.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's coming out later this year.
It's an autobiography?
Yeah, they basically... It's a set-in-world kind of thing, and it's basically all about Kirk's life before, like...
Kirk would write an autobiography.
I know. It's but it's like an in-character kind of thing.
That's awesome.
So, like, you could totally do a tie-in comic for that book.
Yeah.
That would work.
Hey.
That would be fun.
That would be fun.
We'll drop everything. Just kidding, except Lumberjanes. Huh?
That would be so cool, though. I think we'll do a little bit of wrap-up. We do have some feedback from our last episode, one of which being from Andrew, who runs Hyperbole.
Our boss,
who apparently has finally listened to the podcast. So if you're listening again, Andrew, hi, we love you.
Did he like it?
Yeah, well, he said, direct quote, "I like it. These nerds know about stuff."
That's pretty high praise.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that as well. And then Naina Odedra, which, if I pronounced your name wrong, I'm so sorry, said, "After listening to this podcast, I am really interested in reading Watchmen. If I have never watched the movie or read the comics, does the graphic novel collect all the comics, if that makes sense?"
Yes.
Yes. If there is a massive, like...
It's a giant book.
It's a giant, giant book that you could probably kill someone with. It's that big. It's that thick. So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. The answer to that is you can read it all in one very convenient book that you can probably pick up from most places. But for your convenience, I will make sure that in the show notes for this episode, I will put a link to at least the Amazon page for it so that you can get to it really, really easily.
Yes, and I highly suggest that you do. Watchmen actually is probably one of the most interesting things that I've read, and I know a lot of people were so-so on the movie, but I actually really enjoyed that too. So I think Watchmen is definitely worth getting into.
Yeah. I loved the movie, and I'm trying to get Danielle to cosplay as the Silk Spectre. Because
it's on my list of things to do.
She would kill that.
Oh, you would. Your hair is, like, perfect for it already, so.
One day.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I always stumble over Rorschach's name. That's it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, like years of practice. Paying off.
Before we sign off properly, if you could recommend one comic book to our listeners.
Oh, my God.
Something that you're reading or looking at right now. What would it be before we sign off? on the spot. It could be anything. It doesn't even have to be new. So,
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna go with three things. First one, just because I'm reading it right now, it popped into my head, and I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
Last Man by Bastien Beeves. It's like translated from French, and it's First Second puts it out. And then two comics coming out that I would suggest that I've seen little snippets of that they're going to be great would be Zodiac Star Force by Kevin Panetta and Paulina Ganisho, and Power Up by Kate Leth and Matt Cummings. So those two are solid, I can tell you right now.
There we go. So you have your reading for this week. So there we go. Thank you so much for joining us, Brooke. We really, really appreciate
having me.
Yeah. It was great fun. And again, thank you for Danielle and Karen for coming up with me as well.
Yes.
Because I'm missing Marima. You would have missed probably Marima's voice as well.
Yeah, she's mine's still in not Australia. As great as her voice, so sorry.
I know. No, she's still in Australia, so she couldn't be with us. But
she couldn't just drive on over. Mm-hmm.
This is the second episode I've been on, and we still haven't talked about Iron Man. I'm really upset about this.
We haven't talked about Iron Man. However, you are dressed as Iron Man today, so I'm going to class that as a win, and it counts. So
check,
done. Mission accomplished. But thanks everyone who stuck around and listened to us for a bit. Really, really appreciate it. This episode will be up very, very soon. And if you are listening to this and on our kind of iTunes and downloaded it, thank you for sticking around and go and read Lumberjanes. But as always, I'm Danya, and
I'm Danielle.
I'm Karen. Oh, and I'm Brooke Allen.
Thanks so much for listening. Bye guys.
Bye everybody.